Welcome back, Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Michael Spreadborough. He is the executive co-chairman of Novo Resources with me for the first time. The non-executive co-chairman of Novo Resources is, of course, Quentin Henny, who has spoken frequently about the company on this show. Quentin's role has changed with Novo, given his involvement now with Crescat Capital. So it is most fitting that we have Michael, an mining engineer, with us as Novo Resources evolves from an exploration company to a gold producer. That's not to say the company won't be exploring, because I think Michael's going to have some things to say about the exploration program of the company. Very exciting, I would say. Just a little bit more about Michael, since it's his first time on the show. As I say, he's a mining engineer with over 20 years of experience in mining, handling all sorts of metals, lead, zinc, uranium, copper, gold, iron ore projects. And he has held roles across the scope of the industry, from business and project development to operations and exploration. And he has held executive positions at world-class companies like BHP Billiton and the world-class Olympic Dam Mine in South Australia. And as the general manager, coastal operations for Rio Tinto, responsible for port operations and Panawonka mine site. So I believe Novo is really fortunate to have a highly experienced mine operator like Michael steering the company as a gold producer with very considerable growth potential, I believe, which is why I'm really sticking with Novo long term. Before I say hello to Michael, I should say, just remind you that the stock trades in Canada under the symbol NVO. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under NSRPF. 246 million shares at recent trading price in the U.S. and U.S. money at 37 cents, giving it a market cap of around 91 million in U.S. dollars. Of course, a little over 100 million in Canadian dollars. Michael, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to catch up, Joe.
It is indeed, and it's great to have you on for the first time to help us, our listeners, understand where Novo is going from here on. On June 14th, the company announced that it was planning to pause its mining operations at Beatons Creek. Perhaps you can explain why that decision and under what conditions you might restart production.
Yeah, it's a good place to start, Jay. So we are disappointed that we've had to pause production, but as we kind of flagged back in December, the optimization we had done showed that we would run out of economic ore from the oxide much earlier than we anticipated, mainly driven by grade and also costs. We've ended up to be able to push the operation probably about a quarter longer than we said in December, but really the trouble we have, or the difficulty we have, is that we don't have approvals to move into the fresh mining. That process is underway, and at the moment, as we put in the release, we don't have clarity on when the government will give us approval for that. So we've flagged in our release a 12 to 18 month delay. We'll work very hard with government to reduce that timeline, but I think most people are aware bureaucracies have their own kind of wheel, and we have to go along with that. But I think it's important to say that we don't waste the time. You know, we're busy doing a feasibility study on the fresh based on a new resource update that we're going to release shortly. And that really means by the time we get to approvals, we will have really de-risked the fresh, done a full-blown feasibility study, lots of drilling, lots of metallurgical studies, which should give everyone a lot of confidence that when we move ahead with the fresh, we'll be in a good position.
Michael, you speak of feasibility. When might we look for that? What's the target date?
Yeah, so there's two key milestones. We expect the resource update to be available late July, early August. Uh-huh. So we'll release that when it's available. And then the feasibility is expected in the mid of quarter four calendar year this year. But things won't stop. We're doing a very extensive drill out. So we expect to continue drilling the fresh and maybe extensions of the fresh into next year. Quite a large investment. But again, we want to push the boundaries of the fresh, know as much as we can know about the fresh, and feed that into maybe an update of the feasibility next year. And again, that's about giving us certainty going forward. So there's no surprises in this work we're doing.
And from what you know so far about the fresh, it generally tends to be higher grade than the oxides.
Yeah, definitely. The drilling results to date have confirmed some of the earlier work done, many years ago. Much more consistency in grade, much thicker and higher grades. Cautionary note, always, until we pull it together and the geologists put together their shapes and we do the mathematical modelling and estimates of grade. Let's see how it all comes together. And I suppose, remind your listeners, there's always three sides to the story. One is you do the resource, then the mining engineers come along and say, well, how do I mine the resource? And from that, you'll get a grade that it's ended up delivering to the processing plant, and then the metallurgists will try to recover that material. So the challenge will be, given the style of mineralization, is how well we can optimize mining so we reduce dilution, where waste could get mixed up with the ore, and how much of the ore we can actually extract. So that will be the key challenge. And we should have those results, as I said, in mid 2020, mid quarter four this year.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, in the pause, it kind of sounds like, we're stopping, but the geological team on site and in our head office is still busy doing all of that work. Our mining engineering team are remaining in place, our environmental team who will work with government on approvals, and we've got a small team that will keep all the infrastructure, power station, camps, processing plant, all ready to go for a restart. So we are very focused on trying to fast track that restart as much as we can.
Yes, so that's to do with Beaton's Creek and the fresh rock and the fresh material that you're looking to mine and get permitted to mine. And you're doing a feasibility a study, which I think will improve confidence and help people at least have a sense of what the economics look like better than we now have. But you're not stopping. You have such a vast area to explore and develop in Australia. In a video message, you said just recently that Novo is focusing exploration efforts on a gold target and a nickel target. The Beecher, I think, is the gold target, and the other is Purdy's North. I'm not familiar with Beecher. Where is that located?
Yeah, so I think some of your listeners will be very aware of Quentin talking about the Egina area or the Egina district.
Okay.
So Becher sits in the northern part of, say, the Egina area, kind of north of previous discussions about Egina conglomerates and swales.
Okay.
The reason we like Becher is the geologists in their soil sampling have seen a very large extent of high grades within the soils. So the next opportunity is to follow that up with what we call air core drilling. That allows us to take bigger samples of the soil, and then we'll follow up that with RC or reverse circulation drilling. The thing that is very exciting to us is Becher's in the same structural corridor as the Hemi deposit, and your listeners could look up ASX listed De Grey Mining and their Mallina project. It's a 9 to 10 million ounce project that is literally, just over the neighbour's fence. So we're excited by Becher. It's the same geology, same structural corridor. It's had very minimal work done in the past, and we look forward to drilling that. It's probably late July, early August, we'll start drilling that project. But very, very exciting.
Oh, indeed. And we've of course always thought of you as a gold company, but you're talking about some other things. Lithium recently, but you're mentioning the nickel target at Purdy's North. That's the Purdy target, I guess, that where there had been some exploration for gold.
Yeah, so we really said to the geos late last year that we've got this 11,000 square kilometres of tenement. If you trip over anything other than gold, let us know. And through their first pass exploration, we've discovered some really good lithium, copper, and nickel targets. We're not so much interested in lithium, and we'll work with other people to take the lithium off our hands, hopefully for some good value. But the nickel and copper do interest us. The projects in the West Pilbara at Purdy's North, again, are very close to an existing ASX listed company called Azure, which has produced a first pass maiden resource of that handover project. So again, same structural corridor, very, very exciting to us, and we will start drilling there again in, you know, late July. We've already completed some of the heritage survey work, and we've completed some of the geophysics work, so that will be pulled together by the team to target our drilling campaign in coming months. But again, very exciting. You know, I've said to many people, we're not probably in the nickel game to develop it into a mine, but we're definitely in the game of, if we can develop a good enough understanding of it, it's something we can talk to other people to get value for our shareholders. And Jay, you've been around for a while. You know that exploration can be the key to really accelerate shareholder value when you see some of these projects come on board.
No doubt about it. and again, with the lower market cap, it's time for people, I think, to pay some attention to what you're doing. And speaking of what you're doing, we've long heard about mechanical sorting and the promise of it. You just put out a news release, I think it was last week, about phase two mechanical sorting. Seems to hold great potential. And if I understand the news release properly, I think it was about 145-ton sample. You were able to get virtually all the gold out of this 145 tons in 1% of the rock material thereabouts. Do I have that right?
Yeah, very much so. So a while ago, as people were playing around with the test work, the high-grade samples always went to Perth to be tested first, and we ended up with quite a large backlog of lower-grade samples. And as people would know, the mechanical testing on the high-grade samples has been fantastic, really good separation of the nuggety gold out of the waste rock, which has been fantastic. So now that we own our own ore sorter, and I think there's some pictures on our website, and we assembled that at the Nullagine Gold Project, we took the opportunity to test that sorter and commission it using the low-grade material. And as you said, absolutely great results. You know, you put the material through and the gold, which you assay before it goes in and you assay it out, so we know we get good recoveries. But essentially those good recoveries came out in 1% of the material you put through. So that's great separation. So we've proven that the type of sorter we have and the sensors and our approach works very well for Comet Well on both the high grade and the low grade. So that kind of proves that process, which we always kind of expected, but it's nice to see it in reality.
Yeah, indeed. And I guess just to remind our listeners, the economic, at least the conceptual economic model here, has you producing a concentrate through this mechanical separation process and then shipping that concentrate down to your mill. Do I have that right?
Yes, totally correct. So, you know, depending on gold grades, a primary gold mine, you probably would truck maybe 50 kilometres or maybe 100 kilometres at the most. Beyond that, it becomes uneconomic to truck, you know, run-of-mine ore. And it's very expensive to build the processing plant. You know, the processing plant that we have, Nullagine, that we purchased for Millennium, probably has a, I don't know, replacement value of $200 million. So they're very expensive. So the concept with the mechanical sorting for those more distant projects is to mine it and separate the waste that has no value at the mine site and then truck a high-grade concentrate back to the Nullagine mill for processing. And Comet Well's a good example of that. Some people do ask me about Beaton's Creek. It's only 10 kilometres away. We've got a processing plant that can take, you know, all of the 1.5 million tonnes that we can mine from Beaton's Creek. So the economics is it's better for us to truck and process that rather than mechanical sorting Beaton's Creek. Mm-hmm. But Comet Well, very far from the mill, is a great opportunity to do that concentrate transport arrangement.
All right. Just in summing up here then, what are some of the potential share price drivers I guess people should be watching out for? The your updated resource at Beaton's Creek, and also then the feasibility in Q4. And maybe some other assays along the way?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the things shareholders should look out for, the same things that I keep talking to my team about and, you know, looking for good results. So definitely on exploration, look forward to updates maybe on some of the geophysical work, but we'll definitely put out releases when drilling starts on those two key priority projects. As we all know, discovery is a great driver to shareholder value. And then on Bent's Creek, I think the three key things people should look forwards to is when we finally get some advice from the Environmental Protection Authority in Perth on the approval pathway, we'll let people know, and that might give us an indication of how long it will take us to get the approvals. There'll also be the resource update, which is not that far away. The team have got 6 weeks to complete that work, so they're very busy. And then the feasibility in the middle of quarter four. So there's a lot of big pieces of value that people will see coming through between now and the end of the year.
Oh, indeed. It looks exciting. I know a lot of people were, a little bit disappointed in the delay and the pause and sort of a difficult start when production began. But now with a full feasibility study that will be completed, I like the chances of turning things around at Beaton's Creek. And then you have all this upside exploration potential. I think it's a very exciting story, Michael. Anything else?
I think you've done a very good coverage of that, and you've really focused on the key things. The feasibility study will de-risk the fresh project, so that allows us to have more confidence before the board approves the project, and we can be certain of delivery of shareholder value. So
Wonderful.
we're looking forward to that work.
Yeah, really do from this end as well, on the other side of the earth. Thank you for all you're doing down there, Michael. Really glad that you could spend some time with us to let our listeners know that there's reason for optimism down under. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Joe.